dude, when you are the creator of a company, like, you're the tip of the spear. You're the spearheader. You're the visionary. You're like, and this tip of the spear is always going to take the most damage. It's going to be the most chipped. It's going to be the bloodiest. It's going to be the most bruised. But someone has to do that, right? Like, it's you. Like, it's your vision, right? So you're going to take the most damage as the visionary of a company, as the person spearheading a mission. Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley, as always, Kilo G.
What's up?
Guys, we have a fun episode for you today, and I think that it's an episode that's going to relate with entrepreneurs, oddly. Business owners. Real business owners, right? Yeah. You know, it's struggle. It's stress, it's chaos, it's, you know, all of these words that usually we don't want to associate with as human beings, and that we try to shy away from, right? And seek ease and comfort. You know, those are the words that we're really, you know, I think trying to chase when we originally started the journey of entrepreneurship. You're like, cool, like, I want to do that so that I could create ease and comfort and this and that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and you're chasing that facade, right?
Yeah.
And then it gets to a point in business where you just become okay with the stress and the chaos and the uncertainty, you know, of being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, because right when you think you got it figured out and things are smooth, you know, something's on the way.
Yeah.
Right? Either you're currently dealing with something or you're about to deal with something, right? And so it's like, eventually, you just, after years of getting your face pounded in, you're just like, this is part of the process. And then you start associating bad shit with good shit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's delusion, but in reality, like, a lot of people's best moments came after their darkest hour.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, sure. All the big testimonials or success stories are like, this company was on the brink of bankruptcy, and then they made this move. And then, like, in reality, yeah, that was their darkest hour. But the move that they made right after that was literally what they're talking about that was their brightest hour, right? Yeah. That created the situation that they're now in, right? And so it's like, dude, it's such mind games, right? Like, trying to figure this shit out mentally and play the game in reality and play the mental game of business, you know? It's a son of a bitch.
It's a son of a bitch, dude. You know, it's depressing at times, you know? And especially because you hit these times in business where you are like, dude, I'm fucking good. This is great. Like, boom, you're just like crushing the game, right? And then you're like, oh, man, your vision updates, right? And you're like, oh, I want to add multiple buckets to my business. Mm-hmm. I want to add multiple streams of income. I want to add more value. And it's like Andy Frisella saying, it's like, dude, when you are the creator of a company, like, you're the tip of the spear. You're the spearheader. You're the visionary. You're like, and this tip of the spear is always going to take the most damage. It's going to be the most chipped. It's going to be the bloodiest. It's going to be the most bruised. But someone has to do that, right? Like, it's you. Like, it's your vision, right? So you're going to take the most damage as the visionary of a company, as the person spearheading a mission, right? And so, man, I've been thinking about it because it's just like, you know, in our business, we have some things that were dialed. And then it was like, cool, we have these other things we want to do. And so you put people in place that you do trust, people that have evolved with your company, and not that they couldn't do the job, but it's different, right? And so when you step away from something, there's going to be problems. You're never going to escape the chaos. Mm-mm. You just never are. And especially as you start updating your vision and you want more. So, you know, I read the 4-hour work week last week. I'm like, hell yeah, dude, I'm kind of there, right? Like, I'm pretty good at delegating now. Right. And it's like delegate. I'm going to stay in my lane, what I'm good at. Well, then it got to a point where I can't even do what I'm good at because the things that don't have a pulse on anymore regressed. Right. And it's chaotic, dude. And sometimes you're blind to it. right? Because you hear good things, right? Like, I know, I know for a fact I've heard, like, oh, yeah, no, these, we got all these happy customers. And then you hear a little bit of problems here and there, but things are, like, always, like, festering. And so not that you can't do the four-hour work week, not that you can't get a business to that point, but it's, like, how long do you stay in that comfort, right? Like, I have a hard time believing that – who was the author of that book, actually? I forgot.
Is it, it's not Ryan Holiday, is it?
No. Shit, that's sucky.
That's like discipline is destiny or something. Ryan Holiday,
But I have a hard time believing that like whatever he started working 4 hours a week on just stayed thriving forever, right? Maybe that's why he wrote the book. I don't know, right? Because he's like, oh man, I want to update my brand. I can't just travel the world and be a traveling nomad anymore, like, because now I have a bigger vision. I have some things I want to add to my life. And so it's going to require stepping back in. And so I just have a hard time believing that going through everything that we've gone through, all the ups and downs, that even if you do something, exercise something like a 4-hour work week, that it's not going to regress if you don't keep some sort of checks and balances in place and your pulse on things, because you are the pulse of your company.
Yeah.
You are. Like, if you're not checking in with those people, making sure that the new checklists that are updated for the growth of your company and that you kind of have a handle on those things, then, like, you're not going to be able to focus on the things that you want to focus on. Like, there has to be some dedicated time to at least keeping that environment working in the right direction, and you can't really completely step away from it unless you want to sell the company and you're done, right? So if you have a company that's like, oh, dude, I've got this one little product, this one little service that's making me this amount of money, and I want to stay there, and I've delegated all these things and I've outsourced things, and like, I'm good, and you want to stay at that level, it's probably very possible. But if you're like, hey, no, I want to add these buckets of income. I want my company to grow. I want to impact more lives. I want to impact more clients' lives. I want to, you know, impact more, you know, partners' lives. Like, it's going to require you taking on that chaos again and being this spearhead, this tip of the spear that's going to, you have to accept that there's just always going to be chaos with growth. There's always going to be suffering with growth. Like, you have to accept it, because otherwise you're going to be miserable. And I have felt both sides of that.
Well, I mean, it comes down to this. If you want more, you have to do more. It's an input output game, right? So yes, if you get to the point and you're making, you know, $1 million a year, $2 million a year, and you could put things on autopilot, and that's your quote unquote happy at that number, then cool. That's probably something that you could figure out.
Yeah.
But if you want more and you're constantly thinking and you are a visionary, right? And you're like, oh, well, what about this? Or what about that? What about, like, obviously you're having those visions for a reason, right? Like, for what? For you to just sit there and still only have a 4-hour work week, right? Like, people want to be an anomaly, but they want to not do the anomaly, right? Yeah. Like, they're trying to find, again, the ease and the comfort. 4-hour work week, that's really cool, but that's an exception to the rule, right? Yeah. Like, a lot of people, let's just be realistic, in business won't get there.
Yeah.
A lot of people won't get there.
Yeah.
The majority of entrepreneurs are going to run their business for 20 years, 30 years, and deal with stress, chaos, pressure, some form of suffering as they go through the ups and downs of it, right? Yeah. Like, literally, like, let's say, for instance, you just get to a certain point and you're comfortable, you'll eventually suffer regardless, because you'll hit a dip in business or something will happen and you'll suffer. And that suffering could be, holy cow, I was making 200 grand a year and I got comfortable and built a lifestyle around that. Now the revenue of my company dipped or something happened. The suffering that you're now dealing with is the fact that you built a lifestyle around the income, right? Or you can deal with the suffering of forcing it to grow. Like, regardless, there's going in, and there's times as you're growing that you'll hit grooves and things are good and the paydays are well and you're, you know, cashing six figures a month and, you know, it's just like, damn, you know, we really got this thing figured out.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, well, cool. We could stay here and make six figures a month forever and just kind of hit this ceiling, or we can go to the next level.
Yeah.
Right. And going to the next level is going to require you to do more in order to get more.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's just individual and personal goals. If somebody says they want to build a lifestyle around 200 grand a year and, you know, live a lifestyle of like they make 50 and they're comfortable with that in case they have the fluctuations. Cool. Yeah. If that's your thing and you design your life and that's how you want to operate it, not everybody wants to, you know, make $3 million a year or $5 million a year or exit a company at $200 million. That's cool. If that's not your thing and your goal is to retire at 65 with $2 million in the bank,
yeah,
you know, that's not necessarily, you know, what we want to do.
Right.
Right. And if, and if that's also you and that's not what you want to do, then this is just like your warning, right? Yeah. Like this is a warning shot just saying, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 12 years in or 15 years in or 20 years in, like First Form and Andy Frisella, for instance, right? They keep growing and keep growing and want to be a $1 billion company. Guess what? They're buying more land, building more buildings, ultimately employing 1,000 more employees in that building, which comes with, you know, more managers, more systems, more processes, more checklists. They're rolling out the First Form drink, right? Yeah. Instead of just the, you know, creatines and supplements or whatever it is, right? So they're expanding, right? Their product line and expanding their company. Yeah. And you can't say that there's not stress, headache, pressure, chaos going on with inside of that building as long as they're continuing to stretch those boundaries and do something. They're going to have fulfillment issues, you know, this, that, that. There's issues regardless at the level that you're going to be in.
Yeah.
And it's like we've just chose for our issues to be scaling issues at all times, not lack of growth issues, right? And those have their own problems because you scale past your fulfillment. Then you've got to try to keep up your fulfillment with your scalability, you know, and some people really just don't have the sales engine and then they have the fulfillment. Every business is going to be unique and different, but there's one thing that's not unique and different about business.
Yeah.
Stress, pressure, chaos, suffering, that'll all be a part of it.
Yeah.
And one thing that I love about it is it requires you to continue to like look within and ask yourself questions like constantly, like, is it me? Is it this? Is it that? And it's like forcing you to grow out and out evolve the current version that you are because the current version of you got you into the situation. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I need to get better so that I can get out of the situation. I need to get a new perspective and figure this thing out and look at it differently, right?
Yeah, yeah. The problem is most people, okay, even very entrepreneurial people, is they are chasing complacency. You know what I mean? They are chasing a destination.
Yeah.
And and I'm very aware of that, but I've caught myself subconsciously still doing that.
Yeah.
Right. And it's so it's part of this growth that you have to accept because it is you.
Yeah.
Like when you say, like, you know, you ask that question all the time, like, is it me? It is you.
Yeah.
It is me, right? Because it's like my reality. It's but like I can't ever really grow without that accountability. Is everything to blame for one person when there's problems and chaos? No, there's probably many different factors and people that you can place blame on, but you as the leader of a company are always accountable for the actual like responsibility of those problems.
Yeah.
Like it's you, right? And like, if you're not growing, the company's not growing. And if the company's not growing, it's because you're not growing, you know? And that's one of the beautiful things about being a business owner is like you get that opportunity to ask those questions, right? You're not just an employee. You're not just looking for the paycheck to you know, whatever, go live your life within those means. Like you are a creator and that comes with this type of journey where you get to ask those questions and grow with this mission. You know, you use something like First Form as an example, like, well, their mission is more than just the products that they sell. Their mission is like to fuel this entire society, America, of like value driven entrepreneurship right along with it. Right. Yeah. Like take Arete out of the question. That's still what like Andy and his brother are about. Like that's their value system. So they can't allow themselves because they've committed, which because they've committed, they've like, what's the word? Since they've committed, they now are reaping the benefits of like the fulfillment of going after that commitment. There's a lot of growth that's going to come from that commitment, but dude, the second you start retracting or chasing complacency, like now you get the opportunity to sit back and be like, whoa, like what is it about me that allowed this to happen? right? And so you get that opportunity. And so the whole point of saying that is you as an entrepreneur, as a person, a visionary, a creator of a company, need to get comfortable. You get to live the absolute best life because of the discomfort, because of the chaos, right? Like you get to learn how to become
better
because of all of those things. Yeah. And really you're signing up for their never, ever. Like you're a work in progress till the day you die.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the best gift ever, because suffering is what brings growth.
Well, you said something like, hey, you know, as an entrepreneur or business, you know, you're a creator, this, that, the other, right? Like, that means you're also a creator of self.
Yeah.
Right? And I think too many entrepreneurs or business owners are focusing on creating a business and not creating themselves to be the right individual to lead the business or to operate the business, right? Like, if they're not expanding themselves, like, the cool thing about self-development is it's always hard and it's always exhausting because you're always growing.
Yeah.
You're always having to meet the current version of yourself and battle that version and win, right? So that you could become the person that you know that you can become. And every single day you're going up against yesterday's version of self, trying to expand, trying to improve, trying to grow your perspective so that you could take that perspective into your business and hopefully that day see something new or different. Hopefully during one of those workouts, you're like, oh shit, like maybe I should try this or do that, right? Like creating those environments to where you're operating your body at a peak for self-development, but with inside of those environments, you're creating ideas and certain things are happening that shift your perspective, and then you could bring those back into your business. And so
that's the other problem with entrepreneurs, man, is like, it's always like you are a future thinker, you know, and you are kind of living a good amount of your time in the future. And so when you're like, it's always like, what's next? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, I like to use the example of money, right? It's like, you know, there's all these financial habits that you've got to create to really be an awesome, you know, business owner. But business owners always think, I'll just solve the problem doing what I'm good at, which is making more money. And it's like kind of the same thing here. It's like, you want to add multiple streams of income. You want to add more buckets to your business. You want to update your vision. You want to update your mission to, you know, make a difference in the world. And it's always kind of like, what's next? What's, you know, like, what's the next thing? It's never enough kind of a thing, right? And so there's a lot of beauty in that, and there's also a lot of turmoil in that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a great point. If we're built as human beings to not have a limit in terms of our evolution, then it is never enough.
Yeah.
Right? Like we can always be a greater version of ourselves. And the moment that we stop trying to be a greater version of ourselves is a moment that we have found complacency. And when complacency starts, you know, like setting in, self-worth starts to diminish.
Yeah.
Then resentment starts kicking in. And then you start trying to point the finger of blame of why you feel the way that you feel on something external. Right. So if we can always evolve, usually when we're always evolving, we're asking ourselves questions of why is this happening? What can I do to change it? You know, how do I fit into this equation? And when you stop evolution, I think that you start looking externally, and like the average person, they stop evolving outside of high school or college, and they get a job and then they do this and that, whatever. Right. But the average person also places a lot of blame on external circumstances and situations and things, whether it's in their past or their current employer or whatever the situation is, their spouse, their kids, their this, like they're looking for a reason not to evolve.
Yeah.
And you're the reason why I'm not evolving, or it's this or it's that, right? And that's like a resentment thing, and you're always looking to critique. But if you're always evolving self, I don't think that you'll fall into some of those traps as easily, right?
Yeah,
like because if you're not evolving and you know you're not evolving, then you slowly aren't happy. And when you're not happy, you want to blame something outside of yourself of why you're not happy, because you don't want to take accountability, because at that point you're not trying to evolve.
Totally.
Right? Dude, and so it's like,
so spot on. I heard something the other day from a from a friend. But then I also been reading that book because I've seen it so many times. I'm like, I just got to read it. It's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, right? Yeah. And he talks about it. He's like, listen, like Warren Buffett has money problems.
Yeah.
The homeless man on the street has money problems.
Yeah.
Right? Like you have to figure out what you want because there's only so many fucks you can give, right? And so like the commitments that you make and the values that you create, those are the things that you want to put your energy of the fucks given to, right? Not the, you know, what everybody thinks of you, like whatever, right? Things all that, you that
can't
shit.
Control.
Right, things you can't control. Perfect. And then, you know, this friend was telling me the other day, and I actually was like, man, I actually get that. And you know, it's easy for me to disagree out of the gate, and you'll probably disagree too, but it's like when you first hear it. But it's like, he's like, you know what, dude? Like, there's fucking A players out there. And it seems like everybody wants to be this A player. But I've gotten to a point in my life where I think the best thing for me, and you got to know yourself for this, right? But I think the best thing for me is to be a B player, right? Because you've got you've got your business, you've got your kids, you've got your wife, right? Do you want to be the next Elon Musk that's putting everything into his creations of business to be an A player? And then how much are you sacrificing in these other areas?
Yeah.
Are you a D or an F on you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your health?
Yeah.
You know, your relationships, which are so valuable, right? Your family, your kids, right? And so it's like, I was like, man, actually, yeah, I get that, dude. Like if my report card said B, like in my health, because I've let that go many times when I'm all in on something here, yeah. Right? And it's like, but then I'm not proud of myself in that area. So if I was a B player, like I'm walking around at 165, freaking, you can see my abs and all this shit. I might not be able to jump on a fucking stage and win a yeah. physique competition
yeah.
like an A player would be, but I'm pretty fucking proud of what I look at, right? Mm. My business is crushing it. You know, it's scaling. It's growing every single year because I'm a B player, right? I'm giving myself a B on that. Like, could I do more in that business? Absolutely.
But
I
could do more. Require?
But what do I have to say no to? Like, it says filtering yeah. questions we talked about that I did a solo episode on when I got out of out of that other book, The Gap in the Gain. It was like, it's like, if I say yes to this, what do I have to say no to, right? And so when you say yes to this creation, and that's okay. Like, the world needs an Elon Musk, right? Yeah, but you've got to decide what you want, right? Like the world needs the Warren Buffetts, the Elon Musk, the, you know, the people that have literally changed the game, the Steve Jobs, right? Like, but dude, Steve Jobs on his deathbed, we talked about his regrets, right? His mm-hmm. regrets of his family, his relationship, his kids, right? And so it's like, man, how can you create if all those values are important to you? Of taking care of you, taking care of your kids, your spouse, your relationships, and your business, and the people within your business, how can you create a report card system to where it's like you're checking all those boxes at a pretty high level, maybe mm-hmm. a B or a B plus, but instead of like an A in one and a fucking F in all the other ones, or a D? Well, or yeah. do you want to be a C minus husband? Yeah. Probably fucking not, dude. Yeah. Like that's got to feel pretty shitty,
yeah.
you know? And so I don't know. We're all human. You've got to figure out what it is you really want, because what Elon Musk is doing is definitely going to cause ripple effects in the world for, you know, decades and decades and centuries, right?
Sure. I mean, but let's be real. He's not having like, you know, real, true, authentic relationships with his children. You know, I don't even know what their names are. It was like,
I didn't even know he had children, dude, bro. Supposedly for a long time,
he has a bunch of.
I know.
Like he wants to spread his seed, but he just don't want to raise the seed.
You know?
Like he's more of a planter, than a raiser. But you know, he's building massive businesses and sleeping on couches, you know, for 4 hours and then waking up and going like. I personally don't want that life.
Yep.
Now, some people, you know, hey, it might be okay if you don't have a family or kids or this or that while you're trying to build something cool. Like that's like totally understandable. But eventually, it just comes down to what your priorities are, right? Yep. Like if your priority is to build a business that can pay you millions of dollars, be okay with stress, chaos, pressure, some suffering along the way, and just understand that that is part of the process. Yeah. That is real.
In fact, embrace it, seek it out.
Yeah.
Because like, there's always like this growth on the other side of it, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. There's this amazing gift on the other side of it.
That whatever it is that you're currently facing is there for a reason. There's something positive to it. And even though you might not understand it immediately, don't be left to your own understanding. Yep. Just be left to your own commitment level and what you're trying to accomplish and continue to show up each day, right? Like, yep. You don't have to see or understand everything that's going on, but you do have to understand what you're trying to accomplish. And you do have to try to be as certain of an individual as you could possibly be, as I was talking about in the hallway. Even this morning, I just said to myself, I'm like, well, if somebody's really been beat to shit and they've been through hell and back, like that individual could probably walk around in a lot more peace than somebody that's never really been to hell and back yet.
Yeah.
Because they know that they're able to survive. You put them in any circumstance, they are certain with themselves that you put me in this shitty environment. I know who I am and I know how to show up at a high level in terrible situations or circumstances, right?
Yeah.
Like if you've had a bad childhood and you survived it and you're successful, cool. Like you've survived that. If your business has gone through ups and downs and you're still in business, you've survived that. Like when are you going to have some form of certainty that like, you know, I am that person. I am the person that regardless of what happens, that I'll make something happen. It will all work out. And so when something comes out of left field and appears to be, you know, taking out your business, you know, just continue to remind yourself that this is happening for a reason. Your job is to find the silver lining in it and figure out what it's trying to teach you.
Yeah.
Because obviously the way that you did it got you into the situation. So the way that you were doing it, yeah, it could have paid your bills up to a certain extent, but it's now causing more stress and turmoil than the money's worth. So create a solution to that problem so that you could ease that stress and suffering for a period of time, because it's okay to deal with it, but like to live in it, like constant state of it, it's okay to have ups and downs or whatever, right? That's just emotions.
Yeah.
Our job is to, you know, work on our mental discipline so that regardless of what we're feeling in the moment, we operate the same and show up the same way in our business or in our families or with our health or whatever, right? We're not going to feel like going to the gym every single morning. We know that going into it. But if you have a commitment of going to the gym every single morning, like that could be greater than the emotion, right?
Absolutely.
And so be certain with yourself that you know, regardless of the emotion, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation that you're currently in, that you're committed.
Yeah.
To figuring out why it's happening and creating a solution to solve it.
Yeah.
And it will require an uptick in energy. A lot of the times when there's a problem and you already are depleted and you're just like, dude, I can't, another thing.
Yeah.
Like anytime we address something, if it's with a spouse, there's a fight that happens, something head on.
Yeah.
But then when you talk it out, you understand each other better. So there's an uptick in the problem, right? And then it subsides. So you have to address it head on for it to be able to subside. And if you ignore it, you try to distract yourself out of it or whatever it is, it's going to be a dull suffering for a long period of time versus increase the suffering by addressing it head on and relieve that suffering for a period of time until the new problem arises because you're trying to force growth, right?
Absolutely.
Like business.
The chaos. It's so crazy. I realize when I look backwards, right, which we don't like to look in the rearview mirror too much, but I just realize, like, dude, all my friends that are like right around 40 to 40 whatever six, it's like, dude, they're going through like similar shit, you know? And like all my friends when I was 32 to 38, like we're going through similar shit. Like there really is like these different seasons of life, and it's like, it's really cool, man. Like you get to kind of figure out what your values really are, and you get to update things, you know? Like I don't want to pass judgment onto anybody. Like Elon Musk has decided to change the world, and that's become his passion. And I don't know him, so maybe his kids are a super huge priority to him. But he makes a lot of sacrifices there, which hurts the relationships to grow the things that he's found his passion in at a super deep level. And it's like, cool, man. Like, you have to decide what it is that you want to do in your life, like what kind of life you want to live, what kind of values you want to have. You have to decide that. But you also have to give yourself room to update that, because your identity, we always take these things on as our identity. Like, dude, these businesses have been my identity, right? And at times, like, my health and my fitness has, like, become my identity, my obsession. And if you don't give yourself permission to, like, update things consciously, you know, looking forward, looking backward, looking presently, like, you're really going to create a lot of misery, right? Like, when I heard this whole B player thing, I was like, I don't know about that, man. Like, I like to fucking be an A player.
Is that an ego thing?
Yeah, like, exactly, right?
Like, no.
And then when you start really looking at it after he explains it all, I'm like, dude, that's actually really pretty true. And that actually resonates with me with this, you know, season of life that I'm at and the identity that I want to have. Like, dude, I want to crush it in my marriage. I want to crush it with my kids. I want to be the fucking baseball coach and be able to have the time to do that. And I've made a lot of sacrifices and missed out on a lot of things in order, because my identity was like my business and this mission. I don't have to give that up, but I can update my identity and create new non-negotiables and new, routines and new things that, like, allow me to, like, really kind of crush it in all areas of my life without being all in on just one. Yeah. Right.
I guess it depends on what people identify as an A player, right? Somebody might be like, oh, well, I want to be an A player, and that's a millionaire. No, it's not. You know, you can be a B player and be worth 10 million, 20 million, 30 million. Like, for me, I think, like, and when you say A player, I'm thinking like billionaires, right? Like, worth 500 million plus, right? Like, literally, in order to do that, everybody knows that there was decades sacrificed. Like, that doesn't just happen, right? And so it's like, when you say decades sacrificed, on what?
Yeah.
Right? Like, decades sacrificed on their family and their kids? Because that's, there's something being sacrificed in order to create something that massive, right? Like, I'm okay if I'm worth $30 or $40 million and I have good relationships with my kids and, you know, I have good health, you know, and again, maybe that's
great lifestyle. Yeah,
like, and I'm constantly trying to improve myself, right? Not just financially, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, right? Yeah. Like, that's something I'm getting more into lately than, like, it's like, cool, we've made a lot of money, and that didn't fulfill us in all the buckets. Yes, we were okay financially, but maybe you feel a little bit more empty spiritually because you never asked those type of questions because you were too busy focusing on chasing money. And now that you had money, you're like, okay, well, maybe I am empty spiritually, so let's focus on that cup. Oh, family-wise, oh, let's focus more there. That, and you start to kind of balance it out. The more money you make, the more you realize that, you know, what your priorities are, right? Like, it exposes your priorities, it does, right? Because it's like, here you go. Yeah. Here's the money that you said that you wanted. And you're just like, okay. which is great, right? Yeah. And there's ways to make lots of money and still be physically healthy and still have relationships with your kids and this, that, the other. But there's not ways to do all of that and just sit around.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it has to be somewhat intentional, right? Not somewhat, it just flat out has to be intentional focus, right? Like, it just is what it is, right? Like, this morning, I'm trying to get two workouts in before 10 o'clock, before I get into the office. Yeah. And I have to have a lot of intention every single morning to be able to accomplish that, because we have another podcast today at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, today's going to be pretty busy. So, you know, let's get a couple in the morning. I've been doing that because it's like, get your priorities as much as you could get done as early as possible, so that it saves room. Like, now those two workouts aren't going to take away from my kids when I get home at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
Right. So from 7 to 9:30 or whatever, like, I can spend time with the kids.
Yeah.
Or if I didn't prioritize that and have intentionality on trying to get that done, then I get home at 7 and then I'm working out till 7:45 or 8. Yeah. Then, you know, whatever. Right.
It's not easy to put all that on your calendar.
No,
right.
No,
it's just not. There's there's this value in, okay, I've created this blueprint. I have to stick to it. Right. And I can't waver from that because this is what I need to do. Right. But then there's the sacrifice that is involved with that. Right. And there's this chaos involved with that. And it's great. But then if you don't allow it to be updated, it's really going to create a lot of misery as well, because, and maybe you need to go through that in order to update it, you know, but I know what I don't want to be. Like, I remember listening to one of Ed Milet's podcasts with that, like, Aubrey Marcus dude, and he was like ready to kill himself because his baseball career was over. He never, even though he was a World Series champion, it was, dude, all things come to an end. Right. And it's like, and he's sitting there with a gun in his mouth because he's like, dude, like my entire identity, I didn't realize it, but my entire identity was wrapped up in being this baseball player, this athlete, you know, and that those days were over. Right. And so I know I don't want to be that either. So it's like, how can you, and I don't know the answer to this, but like, how can you create an identity and a blueprint for the life that you want and be willing to update it without getting too far on the other side where you give on things so much to where now you're the guy praying for a great life with no action. Right. Like, oh, I've got this blueprint in my head and I'm praying for it, but you know, it's not happening because I'm not taking action towards it. Right. Like, there has to be this discipline factor. There has to be this routines. There has to be this strictness, but then there also has to be this forgiveness as well in order to update things.
Well, you said something earlier. You said something about the seasons of life, right?
Yeah.
The whole purpose of seasons is for things to grow. Right. Like we have winter, you know, and then spring, and things sprout and they grow even more. And then the summer, and then they die off, and then they do the same thing over and over. And then the tree's fucking huge 100 years later. Right.
Yeah.
Through all of the adversity of the seasons. Right. So either we're learning through these seasons of life and doing the updates necessary in order to maximize those seasons and learn what we need to learn and create these experiences that turn into wisdom.
Yeah.
Or you're becoming a victim of these seasons of life.
So good.
Because life is always changing. It's always evolving. Things around us are moving very quickly. The question is, are you?
Yeah.
And if you're not, then you will become or feel like you're becoming a victim to life.
Yeah.
Because you're not updating through the seasons. Yeah. Guess what? If you're 40 years old and you're still acting like you're 21 and going to the clubs and you haven't updated yet, like... My guess is you feel pretty hollow, feel pretty empty. You're not fulfilled. You're chasing these distractions and these surface level things to try to get dopamine or to feel good because you just haven't updated things through your seasons yet. Yeah. You're still holding on to something that was in a season way back when you should be in a whole new season. You should have outgrown that version of yourself just like the tree grows each year, right?
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. Thank you.
Wisdom
brings, I mean, which is what it's all about, right? Like, you know, like,
believe me, we know
we've been through seasons. The value you get through all this chaos this, you know, suffering. There you go.
The suffering, the chaos, it brings experience, and experience brings wisdom, and then wisdom hopefully is shared, and other people can benefit from it. Hence this podcast.
Exactly.
So now we're turning our chaos, stress, suffering, all these experiences, and converting them into wisdom and then sharing them, which is a positive thing, right? So like the people listening, if they go through honorably what they need to go through at those seasons of life and make those tweaks and adjustments so that they can grow and evolve, it's actually really going to serve humanity if you do so, because, you know, somebody else will watch you do it and you'll have now the wisdom to pass down to somebody else, and it becomes a ripple effect.
Yeah.
So like, face what you need to fucking face with, you know, honor, dignity, integrity, character, you know, be noble about what you're trying to do. Like, we're not perfect at anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like I made a story on our Instagram like last week. It says, like, everybody wants to say, like, oh, you're perfect the way you are. No, we are made imperfect as human beings. Like, that's the whole purpose.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Right? Like, we are imperfect, and all of our jobs are is just to try to become the best version of ourselves, whatever that looks like. The best version of you is a better father, is a better husband, is in better shape, has better finances, has more wisdom to pass down to the next generation. Yeah. Like, that's really the idea. And if everybody had a mission to continue to evolve and become a better version of themselves, and the person that's in that environment watching somebody do something, fight life, valiantly, nobly, and even though to the individual fighting, it feels like that they're losing, but the individual watching the individual fighting, that gives them inspiration, right? And then they'll start their fight, right? And then it's just a big ripple effect. And so our job is just to try to be the best version of ourselves every day. That's the closest thing that we'll ever get to perfection, even though we'll do it imperfectly. So like, let's not let people lie and say you're perfect the way you are, because that's a level of complacency and saying you don't have to grow and evolve anymore, even though God gave you unlimited ability to grow and evolve, right? Like unrealized potential is a sin. I read that somewhere, heard that somewhere. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. Why would you be given potential and then it be okay for you not to use it? Like, that's like giving your kids something that was expensive or whatever, and then they just never use it. You're just like, why am I buying you shit?
Entitlement.
Why did I give you that? Right?
It like, creates like entitlement.
Comfort and ease creates that entitlement, like we talked about earlier, right? Like, so it's okay if you're dealing with issues and you feel like that you're failing or that you're imperfect at it. The real question comes down to, are you doing everything that you can to try to become the best version of you every single day? And deep down, we all know the answer to that. Like, if we're just sleeping in, we're, you know, drinking beer every night, we're just kicking our feet up, watching whatever the Netflix series is, like, some of those things are cool as long as the other buckets have the deposits in them that they need, right? I'm not saying, like, go hard to the point where you can never have a free moment to watch a show with your spouse or some shit like that. But, like, don't just do that knowing that everything else that's important is being neglected. Right? So.
I think that there's just a lot of, it's okay to go through those things as long as you're willing to update that shit as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there are people that are probably listening that are like, fuck, that's me. I love fucking having beer and watching games and skipping the gym right now. But are you going to be willing to update that when you realize, like, holy shit, I actually don't feel fulfilled. I'm not gaining wisdom to pass on. I'm not making a difference in the world. I'm evolving, but I'm evolving in a shitty direction. I'm giving people permission to be a worse version of themselves. The people that are looking at me in my life, you know, I think I kind of want to go start going the other direction, right? Like, you got to kind of have, like, the willingness to be honest with yourself and update your identity as well. I remember, like, just loving that shit, dude. Like, loving, like, having friends over for UFC fights, getting hammered, being the funny guy, like, you know, and I was like, that was the shit I looked forward to. Well, dude, I was a dad at 18 years old. So it kind of sucked when my kid's 5-6 years old that I know looks up to me. He's like seeing me as his hero at that age, and that's the example that I'm being to him. So I had to actually update my identity and be like, I'm not going to do that shit so much, dude. I do that once in a while. And then it's evolved to this new season of life where it's like, you know what? I don't drink at all anymore. Like, I want my kids to see me actually making a difference that gives other men permission to be better father, husband, business owner, you know, spiritual person, like everything, a person of faith. Like, I want to be better in all those areas now, right? And so I guess be willing to update your identity, no matter where you're at, right?
You have to be a student of inevitability. Like, if the decisions that you're making today, like, legitimately, if nothing changes, where are you going to be in 5 years or 10 years? When I was a drug addict, that's literally was the thing that changed my life. I was looking at other people that were like 40, and I'm like, that's me. I became a student of inevitability. If I keep doing what I'm doing, that's my future. Right? Like, we're all smart enough to know. Now, we'll distract ourselves from the answer because we don't really want to know the answer, because then that would require work, right? Like, then we would have to make changes when we're really comfortable right now, right? But you're going to get to the point where you're so comfortable, and then when you wake up, you're going to be in a deep, dark hole, and then you'll climb your way out. Sure, like, everybody has to meet the version of themselves that they're displeased with. Mm-hmm. The decision that's made in that moment, and that moment only, will dictate how your life turns out. And you'll meet that version of yourself in every season that you go through. So you might have to kill a version of yourself 5-6 different times throughout your life and recreate yourself,
yeah.
readjust your priorities, update your values yeah. and your standards, right? And really, if you're not updating your standards and values, you're going to live kind of the same life for 40 or 50 years and be a victim to circumstance and problems and this and outside things that yeah. you feel like you have no control over. Or you can meet the current version of yourself and say, I can be better, and this is what I can do to be better. And if I do that thing, then the outcome in 5 or 10 years would probably yeah. be good.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and really it's more so about dropping negative habits than it is adding positive right off the bat, like stopping drinking.
Yeah.
Cause when you stop drinking, guess what? That's room for something else. Then totally. You get bored and you're like, I should probably start exercising.
Yeah.
I got 2 hours a night that I used to drink. Now yeah. I need to do something with that time. So drop the anchors before you try to run faster.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
So true. Like, I was just talking to my therapist the other day, and this was a session I had my wife in on. And, you know, there's been damage done in my marriage, and there's repair and there's work to be done. And I'm okay with that. Like, absolutely love my wife. I'm going to go through whatever to make sure that,
you get the outcome that you want and it's best.
That, yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. For her and me, like, her yeah. happiness is the most important thing to me. I told her at one point when things were getting rough, I said, your happiness and my happiness are very important to me. If you told me today, like, I know I will never be happy with you and I want a divorce, I would give it to you. But I'm not going to give you a separation. I've looked at the stats on those. Okay. A separation is like a 90% success rate on leading to divorce. It's only a 10% success rate on getting back together, you know? And I said, I also don't want to be one of those husbands that's talking to the person that they really love and adore. And they have this conversation, because I've seen this many times in my life, where they say, why didn't you fight harder for me? Like, we could have got back together. I really did love you. You just, you know, did this or that. And they live in this, like, you know, whatever, this blame game or something, right? Or this egotistical area of, like, being right or whatever it is, right? So anyway, we're going through these things because I've told her everything, dude. I've told my wife all my darkest thoughts even, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Shit you don't always share. And we've done some things to, like, really go that deep together because it's so important to me to, like, create happiness together, right? And safety and full trust, which I feel like we've had a really great marriage, but there has been times where we didn't trust each other.
Yeah.
We didn't feel safe with each other, right? Yeah. So anyway, we're going through this whole exercise with this therapist, and he's, you know, he's pointing out some things and she's saying some things, and basically my values are getting questioned, right? My values. And I'm just like, no, that's not true. I can tell you that with certainty. I remember the day that I decided I was done gambling and I was done drinking and I was done with pornography and I was done with all the, I can tell you the day on all of those things. I remember I was sitting around a poker table in Mesquite, Nevada, and I'm looking at all the men around me. And this sparked your inevitability, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I really like playing poker.
Yeah.
It was fun. There's like strategy to it. There's luck involved. There's all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I'm looking around at these dudes smoking cigarettes, cigars. One guy had all these tumors on his arm. Another guy had missing teeth. And I'm like, oh, this thing, this activity that I love doing really isn't bringing a whole lot. Like, I enjoy it, right? Like, pleasure is the easiest thing to get something in life, but it's also the easiest thing to lose, yeah, right? Yeah. Because of the turmoil that it brings when that's all you're seeking. And so I'm like looking at all these men and I'm like, ew, like, this is what I'm going to become in this environment and staying committed mm-hmm. to this thing that I enjoy, this yeah. pleasure that I enjoy. And so I stopped gambling. I also did have other problems, right? Like, I felt pleasure in that moment, but I also felt really shitty when I would be driving home and, you know, I was on a huge losing streak like for months and I was like, fuck, man, I could have landscaped my backyard for my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I remember those thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And so my wife was questioning, like, hey, like, you say commitment. You're done with these things, but how can I trust that? And I'm like, I don't, I have evidence. Like, I stopped all these things. And she's like, so when you make that decision, you want me to believe that, like, you're just done with it? Like, you know, like some of the stuff that I told her that was super just deep thoughts that you don't typically share with anything. It was just like, you know, things around like sex, guilty pleasures, things like that. Right. I'm like, yeah, no, I can literally tell you without a doubt, like when I make a decision, I'm very committed decision. Like I know when they're the committed decisions or the half-hearted decisions. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like when I make those decisions, I'm done. Like, I don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
and it's a freeing experience to all out commit.
Yeah.
Because then the negotiations are very, they might happen here and there.
Yeah.
But they're way less.
Right.
When you allow a possibility to be a possibility and your brain knows that it's a half-hearted commitment, the negotiator will negotiate way hard to test your commitment level. But when you just enter in full commitment, it's just like your brain's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I know this side of him.
Yeah.
He's stubborn.
Yeah.
He's going to do what he said he's going to do because he said it in this manner or committed this way, right?
Yeah.
And we have data and history that when he does it like that, our negotiations don't really help. So let's save the energy.
Exactly.
You know?
And the ultimate closing, you know, exercise of our therapy and all that stuff was actually super helpful and growing. But it was basically not just saying, hey, I have all this evidence that when I make a decision, you know, I'm so great that I never fail at those. A lot of those failed decisions have led to the ultimate decision, right? The ultimate commitment. But the whole point that I was trying to make is like, no, like I want to be like utmost integrity. I want to have super, I want to be the man that I picture a man that I admire. I want to become that man. Mm-hmm. And in order to become that man, like I have to live with integrity and values. And so when I realized like, holy shit, this activity or this, you know, things that I partake of or whatever, like move me away from this person that I actually really want to be, like that's when I can actually make those ultimate decisions. Right. And so, you know, like, dude, there is no such thing as a perfect marriage where you guys don't go through hurt and hurt each other and hurt yourselves and
pain, suffering, chaos,
just like the business, like a business.
it's pretty much just life.
Yeah.
And what you do with the pain, suffering, and chaos will determine how your life ends up.
Yeah.
Are you a victim to these things, or are you letting these things help you evolve and grow by asking yourself the right questions?
Exactly. I love how these conversations just go down all these rabbit holes, but ultimately, like, dude, you want to be a visionary. You want to be a creator. You want to make a difference in the world. You want to have a business that provides an amazing life for you and your family, creates financial security for you and all the people within your organizations and the things that you do. It's always going to come with this, like, this chaos and the suffering. And as long as you're willing to, like, update your identity as you go, but you're also willing to stay committed to this image of the person that you really want to become. Cause that's like the one thing you really want to meet at the end of all this, right? Like you want to become the person that you imagine you were capable of becoming, an admirable man or a woman, right? Like, and that's a man of wisdom. Like that's what comes up all the time in my meditations is like, dude, like this is all about passing on wisdom. It's all about making a difference and being able to like really give people, men, boys, like in your life, permission to like really be great.
Well, you can't get wisdom with ease and comfort.
No.
So if you were going to try to build, if you were a god and you were trying to build somebody that has wisdom, what kind of cards would you deal that person?
A lot of failures.
Boom, 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 boom. Let's see. You said that you wanted wisdom. You're going to get a lot of experience, and that experience means, again, pain, suffering, chaos. So let's see how you handle it so that you can convert that experience into wisdom, right? Like somebody that has ease and they're not going to be that wise. Yeah. They can't part wisdom on you because they haven't gone through that much, right?
And that's the biggest point, right? Like, for people listening through this whole episode, how can you become so honest with yourself that you want it, right? Like you want to go through things so that when they come, you're like, okay, like
this is a good thing.
I don't have to self-sabotage here. Yeah. I'm going to go through this.
Yeah. And get to the point where willingly. You think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Something's happening. It's a storm. There's something good that's going to come of it.
Yeah.
And that allows you to show up with the right perspective rather than the poor me, poor me, poor me. Because if your energy's on poor me, it doesn't create space for the actual solution.
Exactly.
Right. So,
exactly.
But you know, once you've been in the game long enough, you're just like, okay, what's this storm bringing me?
Yeah.
Teaching me? How am I going to grow through the storm rather than, oh shit, it's here to take me out.
Yeah.
Like,
and have a little fun with it too. Like, man, like, how much better am I going to look on the other side of this?
Yeah.
In all these areas,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, proud of myself.
That's really
look to myself, not other people, right?
That right there is life.
Yeah.
The person that could take the majority of what appears to be negative and turn that over to positive.
Yeah.
That will be the sum of your life. Because everybody's going to be dealt issues, problems, chaos, stress, suffering. Do you have a perspective that it's a good thing?
Yeah.
And that you're finding the silver lining and finding the positive in all of these things that are happening around you, these circumstances that kind of come out of nowhere. And the individuals that can keep a positive perspective and keep a perspective that it's a good thing and it's not there to take them out, and then they find the good in it and make the adjustments, ultimately live some of the best lives, have the most wisdom to give at the end of it, right?
So, right.
You know. Anyways, I think we beat that subject up pretty good.
Who's coming to the event? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think I'll be there.
I know we didn't really promote at the beginning of the episode, but like, we haven't even really pushed that hard, you know, and we're seeing ticket sales every day and the early bird pricing is almost over. So if you guys listen to this full episode and you're not getting in the room with us, you're freaking crazy.
Yeah.
We are going to start raising the prices here really soon. We're going to start pushing the marketing to fill that room, super soon, which is not a very big room. So, I do want to stress a little urgency for people to be there because I really truly want people to come and like learn from like, not just our failures, our experiences, the things that we've learned and the books that we've read and, you know, all that great stuff. But the people that we're bringing in as well to like literally do exactly what we're talking about today becoming this best version of yourself.
If you've never been to an event or a meetup and been in a room like that, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that you want to be a part of. If you've never been in a room like that, this room will definitely shift the outcome of your entire life. Like, let's just call a spade a spade.
Getting
like,
in these rooms is what's allowed us to start creating these rooms because of the actions and things that we've taken from the things that we've learned and got inspired by in these rooms. And so, like, here we are, man. Like,
well, I would say also getting in those rooms is also what gave us the perspective that we just literally shared with you over the last hour on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, not having that type of a mindset when chaos, stress, struggle, like realizing that there's more positives to it than negatives, that came out of putting ourselves in rooms like that.
Yeah. Like, it is definitely part of the blueprint of growth.
And it would have made getting to where we are that much harder if we didn't have that perspective, right? We may have quit and give up 4 years ago. Right?
Exactly. So go to rbolive.com, buy your ticket, especially while it's early bird pricing, which I think is super affordable. It's less than $100 a day to learn from these people and us, you know. Yeah. So and network. Every time I go to events like this, I come in with more business, more solutions, more relationships.
Refreshed.
Exactly. So
like literally you're hitting the refresh button and you get to go back into your business. Like, oh, I remember going back to our sales meetings and like having a notebook full of notes and like energetic. I'm like, oh, this and then this and values and da, 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 you know, like.
Exactly.
And like just transferring that energy, you know, into the company. So
I notice, I'll stop after this, but like I notice a lot of events and things like that are having a tougher time filling seats right now. And it's because there's just like people tightening up fear, right? There's fear going on. And so, but dude, I can tell you right now, like, making the decisions through fear, to make those investments into myself, my business, everything is definitely what's brought a ton of growth as well. So, you know, making an investment into the ticket, the travel, no matter where you're at in your business, I already know for a fact it's going to put, you know, people on a different trajectory. So don't be paralyzed by the fear. Come hang out with us.
Yeah, no doubt. Guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. We hope to see you at the RBO Live in Texas. Again, rbolive.com. Make sure you're rating and reviewing. We'd love to see a couple more 5 stars on there. You know, that never upsets us. Yeah. So please take your time, rate and review if you haven't. Share the episode with somebody that you love and care about, because I know that this episode, I think, will hit home to anybody that has a pulse, right? Stress, struggle, chaos, you know, all of that. So everybody deals with that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, how to approach it mentally is really kind of the game. Yeah. Right. So guys, kick ass. Take care. We'll see you next week.
We love y'all. Peace out.